I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord this evening. And welcome to our dear friends, our visitors. So good to have you here this evening. And in case you do not know, this evening we have a guest organist. Yes, our brother Jason is from our sister church in Melbourne. And all our pianists and all our musicians are away, and all our young people are away. And we are so very thankful that the Lord has very kindly provided us a very able organist this evening. We thank the Lord. And a very warm welcome to all our visitors and our friends. May you find great joy and peace worshiping with us here this evening. Now this evening I want to speak on this topic. Teach us to number our days, and I speak from Psalm 90, the psalm that we read earlier on. This psalm was written by the great servant of the Lord, Moses. Now, Moses wrote this psalm during the 40-year wilderness wandering of the children of Israel. The wilderness wandering was actually a judgment from the one true living God upon the children of Israel, because of their unbelief, because of their disobedience to the one true living God, and because of their rebellion. Not long after they came out of slavery of Egypt, from the land of Egypt, they came to this place known as Kadesh Barnea, from which place they could easily have gone into the promised land. It was just one hop away, but they chose not to do that. Instead, they gathered for themselves 12 representatives from the various tribes of Israel. And these 12 representatives went into the promised land to scout the promised land. And all of them came back with one common good news, and that was the land was flowing with milk and honey. But 10 of them, in addition, said something that was not good, something that was very discouraging, something that was not favorable. They said, the land is not conquerable. The land is occupied by giants, by Anakims. We are like grasshoppers in their eyes. So they said, and they discouraged the people. Only Joshua and Caleb among the 12 spies came back with absolutely good news. And their good news was this. They said, only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. We can eat them. You see, bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. The Israelites, however, chose to listen to the 10 spies that brought back unfavorable news. They preferred not to listen to Joshua and Caleb. They rebel against the one true living God who told them in no uncertain terms, go in and conquer the land. I will be with you. Conquer the land. But they refused to go in. And as a result of their rebellion and unbelief, they were condemned to wander in the wilderness for the next 40 years, 1 year for each of the days of scouting the promised land. Yes. So, and then in addition to that judgment, God said this, of the adults, of all the people, all those people who were 20 years and above when they came out of the land of Egypt would have to die in the wilderness wandering. Now that was really a big number of people. All those who came out of the land of Egypt and who were 20 years and above in years, they would have to die in the wilderness wandering. Now, at the time when they came out of the land of Egypt, there must have been about 2 million people or so. At least 1 million of them would be adults, which means that about 1 million people would have died in the wilderness wandering over the 40-year period. Now, if you did a very simple arithmetic, and you were to calculate, you will know that each day there will be about 70 deaths, 70 funerals every day. Yes. Death must have been very, very real to the children of Israel. Every day they would see 70 deaths. And it was in such a very, very sober situation that Moses saw the frailty of life and the brevity of life. And so, moved by God's mighty Holy Spirit in that situation, he penned these very, very sobering words, thought-provoking words, the words of Psalm 90. Now, this psalm begins with this very wonderful and beautiful truth. God is our everlasting dwelling place. And so we read in Psalm 90, verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. God is our eternal dwelling or everlasting dwelling place. In the wilderness wandering, the Israelites dwelt in temporary abodes. They dwelt in tents. When they arrived at a certain place, and when God gave them the signal to pitch their tents or to stay at the place for a period of time, God would cause the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire which led the children of Israel to stay still, so that the children of Israel would know that God wanted them to stay at that place. And then they would stay at that place for a period of time. And then when God gave them the signal to move by moving the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire, then the children of Israel would move. And of course, when they moved, what did they do to their tents? When they arrived at a certain place, they would pitch the tents. And when they moved, of course, they would fold up the tents and they would move on. So you see how temporary their dwelling places must have been. But, my dear friends, aren't we living in dwellings that are temporary? Your home is very temporary. My home is very temporary. Our houses are very temporary. Yes, even the most beautiful palaces are really very temporary. They do not last forever. So you look, where are the great palaces of the Caesars of yesteryears? Where are the great palaces of the emperors of yesteryears? Where are the great palaces of the great pharaohs of yesteryears? They're all gone. They're all no more. Now, when we bought this property at Gladesfield, it was already 40 years old. About 15 years ago, we bought this property. This property looked old and it needed lots of repairs. And so we renovated this place. We literally tore down everything. Yes, but we had to leave the footprint as required by we have to build within the footprint as required by the council. Yes, and when the building was completed, we indeed had a very beautiful building, I must say. Yeah, we had bright red rooftop, and the building, I could say that, was perhaps a showpiece in the neighborhood. But now, 13 years later, the building took about 6 to 9 months to be renovated. So 13 years later, we look at the interior of this building, it still looks pretty good. But not so, my dear friends, when you take a look at the outside of the building, although it doesn't look too bad, but the roof is no longer bright red. No longer. In fact, the roof blends very well with the roofs of older buildings in the neighborhood. Now, what will this building be like in 40 years' time? Did you ever ask yourself, will this building last forever? Of course not. It's not going to last forever. But how different our God is. He is our everlasting dwelling place, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the God that we have. Now the house that we live in is the dwelling place of our physical body. I mean, your physical body and my physical body. My wife and I live next door. We live in 36 Stanbury Street. Yes, that is our physical abode. That is the house in which our physical bodies dwell in. But what is the real physical, or what is the real abode, the real dwelling place of the real you and the real me, the soul? What is the dwelling place of our soul? Of course, the dwelling place of our soul is our physical body. Yes, in our body is the soul. The Word of God has this to say in regards to our body. And the Word of God refers it to as a house made with hands. Yes, an earthly house. So I read this for you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. The Word of God says, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This body of ours is referred to in the Word of God as our earthly house. Your body is your earthly house. My body is my earthly house, the earthly house of our soul. Now, the Word of God also refers to this earthly house of ours as a tabernacle. A tabernacle means a tent. A tent, which means it is something that is very temporary. You know what it is like when you go camping, you build a tent. When the camp is over, you fold up your tent. It's as temporary as that. One day, this tent of ours will turn into dust. But we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of us who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, can look forward to a new body, a glorified body, which the Word of God refers to in the words that I just read earlier on. The Word of God refers to this new body or this glorified body as a building of God, not made with hands, a house not made with hands. And we will have this glorified body as our permanent abode when we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face someday when He returns to receive us unto Himself. Now, our soul and our body will be united on that day. Our soul will dwell in this new body, this glorified body. And our soul in this glorified body will continue to have God as our eternal or everlasting dwelling place. How wonderful, my dear friends, it is to have God as our dwelling place. Now, of course, the vital question would be this. Is God your everlasting dwelling place? Now, that's the question that we must address. Is God your everlasting dwelling place? The one true living God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, invites us to abide in Him. He says, come and abide in me. Come and dwell in me. Now, if we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life. Our Lord Jesus Christ straight away becomes our everlasting abode because He says, come, abide in me. So if we trust in Him, believe in Him, straight away He becomes our everlasting dwelling place. And as we said, one day our soul, the real you and the real me, will have this new body, glorified body, given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will continue to dwell in the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. How wonderful it is to have this one true living God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as our everlasting dwelling place. Now I'd like us to look at Psalm 90, verse 2. Look at verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now this dwelling place, our God, as we said, is the permanent dwelling place, everlasting dwelling place. Now we look at the mountains, and we look at our earth, and we say that they are old. They must be a few thousand years old, at least. My friends, they are very young. Yes, very young indeed when we think of this truth that our God is from everlasting to everlasting. So if you compare eternity, 1,000 years or the age of the mountains and the earth, and you compare that to the truth that our God is from everlasting to everlasting, then the earth and the mountains are really very young. And how wonderful it is to know that our God is our everlasting dwelling place. If we abide in Him, my dear friends, He is our everlasting place. You know, the mountains that are around us, one day will perish. They will go. This earth of ours, one day will be burnt up. So the Word of God says, one day this whole earth will be burnt up and we will have and God will bring about a new heaven and a new earth. But friends, the wonderful truth is, in the heaven and new earth and ever, God continues to be our dwelling place. Isn't this a very, very wonderful thought? If you are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be very much comforted by this thought, that He is indeed our everlasting dwelling place. Now, the everlastingness of our God is next described in verse 4. Look at how everlasting our God is. Look at verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. 1,000 years by human reckoning, it's a long, long time. In that time, empires came and empires went. And in that time, dynasties came and dynasties went. But to our God, my dear friends, 1,000 years is but as yesterday when it is past. Do you know how long 1,000 years is when the 1,000 years is past? How long is 1,000 years when the 1,000 years is past? My dear friends, the 1,000 years when it is past is a very, very short time. It is even shorter than the next second that you have not entered into. Did you realize that? The next second that you are going to enter into is longer than the 1,000 years that have gone by. And that's the truth. Yes. So 1,000 years are so short to God that the Word of God says they are like yesterday when it is past. 1,000 years to him is as short as a watch in the night. In ancient times, you know, the time would be announced by the person who went around telling the time. And he would tell the time and announce the watch, when the watch is completed. And the watch would be about 3 hours or so. It would be 3 hours. So, as far as God is concerned, my dear friends, 1,000 years is like a watch, as long as a watch. But this God of ours, as we said over and over again, and the Word of God says over and over again, is from everlasting to everlasting. And this God has absolute control over us. You look at Psalm 90 and verse 3. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. You see, he has absolute control. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. He turns man to dust, just as he forms man out of dust. And when he calls us, my dear friends, we have to return to dust. We cannot resist. When he calls us, our time is up, our time is up. Yes, when he calls, nothing can stop him from calling. Nothing can stop us from responding. When he calls, even the richest, even the healthiest, even the most powerful will have to respond. Nobody can resist. You can't stay 1 second longer and say, Lord, wait. There's no such a thing. When he calls, you have to respond. And even the best doctors, the best medicines will not be able to help you at all. When he calls, we must instantly respond. That's it. You have breathed your last breath, and that's it. You're gone. For the believer, this is a very, very comforting thought. This is comforting knowledge. Our lives are in the hands of the one true living God. God is sovereign. Nothing can happen to us except God permits that thing to happen. Some people today especially are very, very fearful of flying. They are fearful because they are fearful that the planes that they fly in might crash. Yes, with the many incidents that took place recently, people are afraid of flying. And they are also afraid that the plane that they fly in might be attacked by terrorists. But this verse tells us that our lives are in the hands of the one true living God. Until he calls us to dust, we will never return to dust. Yes. And when he calls, those of us who truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ need not fear. Why? Because God is our everlasting dwelling place. Our body will return to dust, but our soul straight goes into the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our everlasting dwelling place. We go into his presence right away when he calls. Now for the unbeliever, the call to return to dust can indeed be very frightening. Because why? Because they do not come under the very special providential care of God. Their goings out and their comings in are not given special care by the one true living God. And so it is not surprising at all that many unbelievers I'm talking about are fearful of doing many things in life. And what is terrifying to them is that when their bodies return to dust, their souls are not going to God, because God is not their everlasting dwelling place. Their souls are going to another place which they do not like to call home, which they have to call home. Yes, And that is eternal hell, and eventually the lake of fire, where they will be tormented day and night for all eternity. My dear friends, I didn't invent these thoughts. These teachings are given in the Word of God. He said so in His Word, and so that must be true. And what's more terrifying is that when He calls, you have no choice but to respond. And when He calls regardless of age. You will have to respond. Yes, you cannot say, "Lord, I'm so young, you cannot call me." There's no such a thing. When He calls, you respond. And He calls suddenly, sometimes. Some years ago, in the early hours of the morning, I received a call from my niece in Singapore. She broke a piece of very, very sad news to me. It was shocking news to me. My brother had suddenly passed away. Yes, his death shocked all of us in the family, because this brother of mine never showed any kind of illnesses, but he was suddenly diagnosed with a very, very late stage of cancer in the lungs. And then he went into hospital, and then he passed away. When God called, he had no choice but to respond. My dear friends, are you ready to respond when He calls? Yes, are you ready to meet Him? Now, Psalm 90, verse 5. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. You see how powerful our God acts. Verse 5 and verse 3 are connected. In verse 3, He says, return to dust, and then we must return. You see, He's so powerful. You see, you return, we have to return. And then verse 5 says, He carries generation after generation away as with a flood. You know how powerful a flood is. Did you remember the tsunami that took place some 10 years ago, 2005, on Boxing Day? Yes, this tsunami swept upon the shores of several Asian countries, killing something like 250,000 people. Yes, and all the things that were in the way of the tsunami, cars, houses, people, animals, my dear friends, all this was swept away by the tsunami. That is how easily and how powerfully each generation is swept away by the one true living God of ours, in whose hands our lives are. The death of one generation is as sure as a big flood carrying everything away in this path. Death is real. Death is something that is inevitable. The sooner we realize it, the better we'll be, the wiser we'll be. You know why? Because when we realize that death is something that is real, inevitable, and something that can happen sooner than we think it can, we are more likely to make preparation to meet our Maker, the one true living God. This wise man, King Solomon, says, it is better to go into the house of mourning than into the house of feasting. You know why? When you go into the house of feasting, you come face to face with the greatest reality of life. And what is the greatest reality of life? The greatest reality of life is death. You come face to face with death. And then when you go into the house of mourning, when you come face to face with death, we hopefully will be challenged with this question, or more likely to be challenged with this question. Are we ready to meet our Maker? Are we ready to meet Him? Are we serving Him? Are we living in the way that pleases Him? Are we loving others as He would want us to love? Are we loving Him the way He wants us to love? Are we working the way He wants us to work? Are we studying the way that He wants us to study? Now, in contrast to the everlastingness of this one true living God and His power, we see the temporariness of man and the frailty of man. Verse 5 and verse 6, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withereth. They are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. Yes, the life of man is as asleep in the sight of God. You might say the life of man is like a dream to the one true living God. You know how long a dream is? I think the longest dream you have will be the one that is as long as your sleep, right? That will be your longest dream. But I'm sure in our sleep we have several dreams in a night. And our lifespan in the eyes of God is as long as a dream in His sight. Yes. And then life in His sight is like the wild grass that we see in the fields. In the morning it flourishes. In the morning it might even flower, but by evening time it is cut down. Some wild grass might not even last till evening, because they might be cut down before sundown, cut down prematurely. You might say that they have been cut down in the prime of their lives. And have we not seen this happening in our lives? Our dear ones, our loved ones, our dear friends were cut down by some fatal sicknesses or by some fatal accidents in the prime of their life. And sometimes even before they reach the prime of their life. A young boy, I knew this boy, the son of a couple, he was the only son. He was a very, very brilliant boy in the university. He graduated and then he joined this company. And because he showed great promise, the company decided to send him abroad for training. So he went to America. But friends, he was not there for more than a month, less than a month, in fact, when he met with a fatal accident. And he died. He met the accident and he died. What a pity. A young man cut down even before he reached the prime of his life. That is how short life can be, my dear friends. How uncertain life can be. The psalmist further says in Psalm 90, verse 9, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." Our life, you know how long our life is. It is as long as a tale that is told. It is as long as a story that is told. Now, I remember when I was a kid, I loved to listen to stories in school. And I loved to hear stories told by my teachers. There was one period in our school timetable known as story time. And all of us in the class looked forward to story time. And then the story would start. And before we knew it, the story had ended so fast. We say, how could it be? It was so fast. But that was how fast the story ended. And that was how short the story was to our ears. But today, of course, we might not listen to stories, but we watch stories. We watch stories on television. But how long do these stories last? 2 hours? 3 hours? And then at the end of the 2 or 3 hours, the story is over. The story has ended. Friends, we spend our years as a life, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Yes, that is how short our life is. It's like a story, so short. It is as a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Life is short. Death is inevitable. Now, why is this the case? The answer lies in verses 7 and 8. You look at verses 7 and 8. "For we are consumed by thy anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled." Verse 8. "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance." The answer is this. Friends, why is life so short and why so brief? Because, friends, we are consumed by God's anger. That surely was the case with the children of Israel. They had sinned against the one true living God by their disobedience, by their rebellion against Him, by their unbelief. By their unbelief, they were actually telling God, "God, you are a liar. God, you're not faithful. You're not powerful enough." They were telling God this. "God, you cannot be relied on. You're a liar." And they murmured against Him. They provoked Him to anger. Their iniquities, as it were set before God. And their secret sins were no secret to God, because God is the all-knowing God, all-seeing God. Everything with regards to the children of Israel was as clear as daylight to Him. "Now we surely have sinned against the one true living God." In fact, friends, we have inherited this sinful nature from our first father, Adam. We might think that we can hide our sins from him, but friends, we can't. No secret sins are secret to the one true living God. They are as clear as daylight to him. And then we might think that we are good. We might think that we are so helpful. We might think that we are very, very charitable. We might think that we are very righteous. But friends, understand this truth. The Word of God says, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. No righteousness at all. And if you think that you have any righteousness, your righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of the one true living God. And it is sin that causes this death in us. Because of sin, we die spiritually. Yes, we die spiritually. You know what spiritual death is? Spiritual death is separation from the one true living God. God is here, we are separated from God by our sins. That is what is meant by spiritual death. And of course, if you are in the state of spiritual death, one day you will have to die the physical death. All of us have to die. Yes, but the truth of the matter, my dear friends, is that we were all born sinners. Yes, in sin did our mothers conceive us. But our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has the answer to death. That's the most wonderful and most comforting news. He died on the cross of Calvary for us, so that we might have life. He came to shed His precious blood for us on the cross of Calvary, to pay for our sins, to free us from our sins, to wash our sins away. Whether they be open sins, whether they be terrible sins, whether they be secret sins, my dear friends, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ paid for all of them on the cross of Calvary. He came and bore the anger and the wrath of God on our behalf. And if we trust in Him, friends, there will be no condemnation. If we trust in Him, because if we trust in Him, believe in Him, receive Him into our hearts, then all that He had paid for us would have been applied to us. Then Jesus, the one true living God, will become our everlasting dwelling place. Now, in numerical terms, how short is the shortness of life? Look at Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is the strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. The Word of God says that our lifespan is 70 years and 10. Today, maybe with the advance of medical science, the lifespan might have increased. Maybe the average today is, 75? Yes, but still you can't run away too far from the average 70 years and 10. Now, for you young people, 70 years appears to be a long, long time. Isn't it true? Yes, 70 years is a long, long time. Yes, it seemed that way to me when I was a little kid. And when I was a little kid, occasionally I would stay with my mother in her village house. And her mother would say, son, you stay home, I go to market. I'll be away for the next 1-2 hours or so. I say, the 1-2 hours that I was left alone in the house seemed like eternity. It was so long, that 1-2 hours. When I was a kid, it was like that. But friends, today you ask me, 1-2 hours, is it a long, long time? I said, what? 1-2 hours. Then next to no time, the 1-2 hours would have gone by. Yes, and that is true. That's how fast time flies for people who have grown in years. Now, how long is 70 years? Now let me read to you this little poem. It is found in one of our tracts. I think we all know this poem, but let me read to you a very, very simple words. When as a child, I laughed and wept, time crept, very slow. When as a youth, I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. Then as with the years I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find as I travel on, time gone. Isn't it true? So soon. And time, when we grow older, time flies. It's so very, very fast. Now, seeing the frailty of life and the brevity of life, what must we do, my dear friends? What must we do? The psalmist, the great Moses, says in Psalm 90, verse 12. Let's read that verse together. Together, let's read it. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Yes, that is what we must do. Number our days. Now, how to number our days? Now, first of all, we must recognize that our days are not numberless. In other words, there is a time limit. Yes, a time limit. Now, you know how long 70 years is in terms of days? Yes, I did a very simple calculation. It is about 26,000 days. That's all. 26,000 days. Yes. Now, if you are very, very young and very little, maybe you have used up a couple of hundred, or maybe you have used up a few thousand years. But as far as I am concerned, I've already used up my 26,000 years, days. I've used up already. And whatever additional days I have, my dear friends, are just bonus days. Yes. And the Word of God says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. Number of days. By asking this question every day, when we wake up in the morning, let us ask ourselves this question. If we truly and sincerely want to number our days, ask ourselves, what will I do for Jesus today? What will I do for him today? Then at the end of the day, ask ourselves this question, what have I done for Jesus today? So you begin with this question, what will I do for Jesus today? At the end of the day, ask, what have I done for Jesus for the day? A number of days by engaging ourselves in prayer. Friends, if we want to achieve much for the Lord Jesus Christ and we truly want the number of days, we must pray. Prayer is our powerhouse. Prayer is the means by which we obtain great and mighty blessings from the one true living God. No prayer, no power. A prayerless day is a day lost. Understand this truth. A prayerless day is a day lost. Number of days by active obedience to God's word. To obey is better than sacrifice. We might think that we are doing well, we are presenting our bodies as living sacrifices unto the Lord. That's good, present our bodies as living sacrifices unto him. We might think that we have given a lot. We might think that we have spent a lot of money, we have spent a lot of energy, spent a lot of our time for the Lord. That's good. But friends, these will be great losses to our lives if we do not live a life of obedience to the one true living God. If we do not live a life that is lived in obedience to his laws. My dear friends, a day lived without obedience to the one true living God is a day lost. Number of days by acts of love. God's laws are laws of love. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. How well do we love God? If we love him, we must honor him. We must honor him with our substance. We must honor him with our time. We must honor him with a high view of him. The sad thing today is many people think that they are honoring God. But the unfortunate thing is that they do not have a high view of God. Now, when we have a high view of God, we will not only think of God as a God of love. We will think of God as the absolutely holy God. Yes, he's absolutely holy. And we owe him our reverence, our complete reverence. Now, friends, how can you say that you are loving God and that you are honoring him, giving him the honor due to him, if every Lord's Day you are late for the worship service? My dear friends, you are not honoring God. You say, I honor him. I really want to love him. I'm really loving him. My dear friends, prove it. Prove it. Now, if you are late for your worship service every Lord's Day, something is not right. You are not having a high view of God. You are not honoring him as you ought to be honoring. Then how well do we love our brothers and our sisters in the Lord? How can we say we love God whom we do not see when we do not love our brothers and sisters in the Lord whom we can see? My dear friends, that is hypocritical. You say you love God, but then you do not know how to love your brothers and sisters in the Lord whom we can see. You do not love them and you say you love God. My dear friends, the two just don't add up. Life is brief. Yes, so let me say, a day spent without showing love is a day lost. Life is brief and life is frail. It is like the wild grass in the fields which flourishes in the morning and by evening time it is cut down. It is as short as a tale that is told, like a story that is told. It is like a watch in the night, 3 hours. The average lifespan we know is about 70 years, maybe 75 years today. So what is the wise thing for us to do? The great Moses says, pray this prayer, so teach us the number of days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now friends, that must be the same prayer we should be making. Teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom, so that we may be able to live wisely for Him, so that when we have finished our life on this earth, one day when we see Him face to face, we will be able to hear Him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And number our days every day by asking ourselves two common questions, but important questions. What will I do for Jesus today? And at the conclusion of the day, ask, what have I done for Jesus today? Why don't we do that every day? Then you see that these answers to these two questions will be very, very telling as to whether or not we are really numbering our days. And as for those who are still outside the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you this evening, to consider this question: is God your everlasting dwelling place? If He is not your everlasting dwelling place, my dear friends, why don't you have Him as your everlasting dwelling place this evening? You say, how may I have Him as my everlasting dwelling place? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent from your sins. Trust His death for us on the cross of Calvary as for you in particular. Believe that His precious blood was shed for you. And you ask Him, Lord, I want you to come into my heart this evening. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my everlasting dwelling place. And if you are true, if you are very, very sincere about it, my dear friends, you say, yes, I will be your everlasting dwelling place. Will you not do that this evening? Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for these very sobering and thought-provoking words given to us through the psalmist, the great Moses. And Lord, we thank you for this wonderful truth that you are our everlasting dwelling place. We thank you that we have been able to claim this to be true because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary for us. We thank you that He died for us to save us. And we pray this evening for those who are still outside your kingdom, those who do not know you as Lord and Savior, and who do not have you as their everlasting dwelling place, that they may this evening open their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior, so that the one true living God will be their everlasting dwelling place. Lord, we pray that you will be with us, continue to be with us this evening as we look up to you and as we seek you in prayer and as we yield ourselves to you. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.